Giants.com.
Smith back to throw. Has time over the middle. Intercepted by Roll again. Antrell to the 20. Needs a block. Pinball down to the 5. Roll call time. Antrell with back-to-back picks.
Manning back to throw. Steps up. Deep ball down the middle of the field.
He's got Cruz. 35, 30, 20, 10, 5. Touchdown, Giants.
Romo drops straight back to throw. Steps up. Gets hit by Canty.
Pass intercepted by Jason Pierre-Paul. To the 10, to the 5. Touchdown, Giants.
There goes Wilson again. Trying to break to the outside. Wilson cuts it back to his right. Needs a block, and Wilson's going to go. He's to the 10, 5. Touchdown, Giants. 97 yards.
Now here are your hosts, Anita Marks and Paul Dottino.
Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live. Anita Marks, Paul Dottino, and of course you. The phone number 201-939-4513 to get in on the show, 201-939-4513. Also, don't forget you can find us on Twitter at Giants. Make sure you include that hashtag Giants Chat for any questions or comments about the show. Paul Dottino and I with you until around 10:30 this morning, so a lot to get to. Practice today 1:30 to 3:45, but the weather looks not so great here, so if you're a Giants fan, you were considering maybe coming out to practice today, I would reconsider. Definitely keep an eye on the weather conditions. You want to make sure that you don't make the trek out here and then unfortunately not be able to watch practice, because if it's raining, then we know they go indoors. And when they're indoors, the fans cannot watch practice. How
that
you
is
doing?
True. I'm great. I was looking forward to today's practice because it's a full pads practice. And I thought the fans would get a real kick out of that. But the bad news is, as you say, it looks like they're going to be inside the field house. I will tell folks tomorrow's practice is also a full pads practice. So if they cannot make it out here today because of the weather, tomorrow would be a good time to cash in your rain check and see if it's sunny out. And then you'll get to see the full pads practice tomorrow. Those are always better because they do more.
Again, 201-939-4513. Paul, let's kick it off right at the top, because a lot of Giants fans out there are very concerned about Antrell Roll. Hurt his ankle yesterday. Was doing one-on-one drills with Bear Pasco. They both went up for a pass. Bear came down on his ankle, and I believe he had an MRI yesterday or today. He's going to get it. What's the latest with Antrell Roll?
Well, Tom told us after practice they were going to do every test known to mankind on that ankle to see exactly where it stood. It would include an MRI, of course. As you know, Anita, sometimes guys get swelling when they have an injury like that and they can't do the MRI right away. So I don't know exactly where Roll's ankle stands. What I do know is that Tom Coughlin was very non-committal on the injury because he said, look, I have nothing yet. They're about to run a battery of tests on him, and I have nothing. I don't want to say it looks minor, it looks major. I don't want to say anything. So I think that's where we stand as of today. I will tell you this, it wasn't very pleasing to see him carted off the field. You know, he got up, he needed some help getting off to the sideline a little bit, and it was like, okay, maybe that's not a big deal. But then he needed help getting off the field, and they had to get the cart. That didn't make you feel too good if you were a Giants fan.
Well, Antrell Roll has led this team in tackles 2 years in a row. So fingers crossed that is not that serious, and he'll be back in practice and definitely ready to go regular season game one when the Giants take on the Dallas Cowboys. But, Paul, talk about Ryan Mundy. This is a veteran guy who comes in, played at Michigan with Stevie Brown. Your thoughts on him and what you've seen so far this camp?
Well, actually, he's had a pretty good camp, which to some folks, including myself, is a bit surprising because he came here as a special teams demon with the Pittsburgh Steelers, and really the thought was he would be a gunner. You know, he'd be the ace on coverage teams that would really help this Giants kickoff and punt units get their act together. Instead, he has kind of worked himself into the safety spot where he was running as the third safety. Surprising to some of us. Yes, Will Hill has to sit out a four-game suspension to begin the regular season because of the substance abuse situation. So that certainly opened up an opportunity for Mundy. Cooper Taylor, the rookie, looks like he's got a lot of promise, but clearly he's raw. And so the Giants do have room for a veteran safety to move up on the depth chart. So the obvious question was, would Tyler Sash be the guy, or would it be Ryan Mundy? Now, I'm not sold on Tyler Sash, although he had a good game the other night in Pittsburgh. I would think that Monday would be a better choice than Sash at this point. Certainly throughout the course of training camp, Monday has had the edge. And in talking to the coaches, they feel very comfortable with him playing the Deion Grant role in the three safety Giedra package. So, you know, if Roll is out, that basically means that Monday will be the starter next to Brown
Monday.
For the time being. Monday.
Yes.
M-U-N-D-Y.
Right.
Monday would be the starter next to Brown. And at the moment, you might be looking at Tyler Sash sneaking back onto the 53. I didn't think he would be at the beginning of training camp. If he plays like he did against Pittsburgh the rest of the preseason, he may earn himself a spot.
201-939-4513. You want to get in, have any questions about Antrell Roll, the secondary, the Giants defense, now is the time to get in. 201-939-4513. Anita Marks, Paul Dottino with you this morning for Big Blue Kickoff Live. And then just to give you an idea of what the schedule is, which it pretty much is every day, and that is players are made available to the media around 11:40 a.m. Eastern time, and then they have practice at 1:30, which it looks by the weather conditions here in New Jersey that that's going to be indoors. Talk about Terrell Thomas. First team reps as the nickel, and he's looked pretty good. Surprisingly so, right?
Yes, he was in the first team nickel package yesterday for the first time during training camp, Anita. Finally got back out onto the field when they activated him off of PUP midway through last week. At that point, he was limited to half of the individual drills. The Giants want to bring him along slowly. He did not make the trip to Pittsburgh to face the Steelers. And so it was a real curiosity kind of thing for all of us as we watched him yesterday. He looks fine. I mean, you can only tell me. You've had the knee surgeries in the past like others have, and I don't know what's going on inside that joint. He says he's okay. He says his hamstring is healed, which he had earlier when he first reported for conditioning drills. And from the looks of how he was running around yesterday, you couldn't tell that there was anything wrong with him. So I'm going to say I'm very cautiously optimistic right now that Terrell Thomas, who will probably get incremental additions to his workload as we go on, is on track to have a shot at being around here. Fingers crossed, you know? Fingers crossed.
That's great news. Talk about Aaron Ross. I know Webby, he was on the bike, a groin, a little sore, from what I understand, after preseason game number one.
Yeah.
So Aaron Ross stepped up and was and played the starter opposite Prince Amukamara at the cornerback position.
Aaron Ross has had a good camp, Anita. Let's face it. This is a guy who has come back in his second tenure with the Giants, feels he's got a lot to prove, had that year in Jacksonville, and since day one when he got back on here to campus, he's had that big, wide smile on his face. He has not had any injuries to this point whatsoever, and he looks good. Quite frankly, Anita, as I've watched him out there over the course of the last couple of weeks, and in the preseason game against Pittsburgh, he looks like the kind of guy who could challenge for a starting job. Not here, because I think that Webster and Prince are the two starters. But I'm looking at Aaron Ross, and I'm saying this guy is a starting caliber corner in the NFL.
Is it a little concerning to you that that Corey Webster has missed quite a few practices and has been on the bike because of a groin? Do you think that maybe that does open the door for Aaron Ross if he does continue to play and perform so well?
It would concern me if Corey was concerned. You know, this guy went through a plethora of injuries much earlier in his career. He knows his body well. He's been relatively healthy now for many, many years until last season, which obviously we talked about a hammy and we talked about a broken hand. This is a groin, totally unrelated. In my mind, if in dealing with Corey Webster, he was upset or disappointed or frustrated, I would start thinking about this being an injury that could cause concern. At the moment, he's still walking around with a smile on his face. I got the impression, and he didn't say this to me, but I got the impression that if this were the regular season, you might see Corey out there. But at this point, they're just being real cautious with him. And again, I don't blame them. Anita, any of these guys who have been around 6, 7, 8, 9 years in the league, they get any little thing wrong with them, including a hangnail. You know, they're going to hold him out right now because it's only the third week of training camp and the regular season is still several weeks away.
201-939-4513, the phone number to get in. Talk about Prince Amukamara, and I know this is Paul, this is the first time that you and I have had an opportunity to talk since the Giants did face the Pittsburgh Steelers in preseason game number one. Your thoughts on Prince and not only the camp, but what you saw in that game at Heinz Field?
Well, you know, he really has been the star of the defense since training camp opened. And what I thought was interesting in Pittsburgh, Anita, is that the Steelers did not test him. And usually an offense, and I know they don't game plan specifically during the preseason very much, but they'll take a shot at guys who they think may not be up to par because they're trying to get their stuff done offensively and they want to exploit whatever matchups they think they can get. The Steelers didn't even look at him. They threw one little tiny short quick hitter for 4 yards. That's it. They didn't even try to really throw at him. And while this is not a win or lose situation because it's preseason and they're just trying to feel themselves out, I'm wondering, my eyes kind of opened and I said, hey, could this be a sign of things to come? Might Prince have shown so much over the last 6 weeks of the regular season last year? And I do really think he played very, very well. And we all know we think he's taken another jump over this summer. Might he have played so well that teams are starting to look at him and say, wait a minute now, this guy's really good. Maybe he's somebody we don't want to throw at. I don't know. It's just tuck that in the back of your mind, folks, as we get into the regular season and the Giants play Dallas and the Giants play Denver, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Watch how many times people even look at Prince, because it was really odd for me to see Pittsburgh shy away from him the other night. Again, only a preseason game. But you and I both know that throughout the early stages of his career, he's been a target. People have thrown at him. He's made plays like he did at the end of last year. But the point is people throw at him.
Yeah, they've tested him for sure. 201-939-4513. You want to get in, Big Blue Kickoff Live, Anita Marks, Paul Dottino, also on Twitter. You can find us at Giants, hashtag Giants Chat for any questions or comments. Giants back at it today, and they are in full pads, which is, well, let me ask you this. If they do go inside, do you feel that it'll still be full pads?
No. Well, the last time Tom had to do that, he wound up telling the guys to wear shorts. They wore
right.
a lot of uppers, but full pads inside a lot of times just means half pads.
Well, let's continue to talk about the DBs, because one guy that's really not getting a lot of talk, whether it's pro, con, good, bad, is Jerron Hosley. So at the cornerback position, you know what you get with Webby and Prince. Terrell Thomas has looked healthy and has looked quite good. Excited to see him in game action. Aaron Ross has stepped up. But what about Jerron Hosley?
Hosley was running as the backup nickelback in Pittsburgh the other night. Now, I thought that was curious because one of the things the Giants did when they went to their backups in the secondary was they threw Tremaine McBride out on the corner. This is a guy who's a six-year veteran, played most of his career with the Chicago Bears, rather nondescript. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, last year had a cup of coffee in camp with the Jaguars, perhaps. I'm not sure about that. But I know he's primarily known as a Bear. He has really quietly played very, very well during this camp, and it's really been noticeable in the last week or two. Again, he's a Smurf. He's a small guy. He's under 6 feet. And he wound up being the guy who was playing corner with the backups in Pittsburgh. That really surprised me. It was like, well, wait a minute. Why isn't Hosley out there? I'm not sure. Unless the Giants just want Hosley to concentrate on being a nickel, being the slot guy, and they just feel that, hey, he's got so much to learn there, and last year he had a lot of trouble. We know that. Maybe they feel as though it's too much on his plate for him to learn the outside spot and the inside spot, and they just want him to concentrate on being a slot guy. That could be. I haven't had a chance to talk to anybody about this yet. I know it's already Tuesday, but it's something that I need to get to the bottom of, because Hosley is an outstanding talent who I think is going to be a future starter at corner in this league. But right now, the Giants don't seem to think of him that way. Perhaps it's only because Aaron Ross is here, and they feel as though Aaron Ross would be their next option outside, and Hosley probably is going to have two guys get hurt before he plays any outside corner. That could be part of the reason.
How many corners do you think they keep, Paul?
Well, it depends on Terrell Thomas. you know, because you got your starting two, then you got Ross and Hosley, and now who's your number five? You could go five if Terrell Thomas proves he can play. You have to keep him. I mean, again, that's a big if yet. The guy hasn't seen any game action. They're going to play the Colts on Sunday night. I would think he's probably going to get some snaps.
So you say five?
I think they could keep five. Yeah.
Okay. 201-939-4513. Sticking to the defense, let's really focus in on the defense before we move to the offense. Again, Paul, this is our first opportunity to talk after the game on Saturday night. By the way, the Giants did win 18-13 against the Pittsburgh Steelers. The linebacking competition, which I think is probably the most competitive position battle that's happening right here. Dan Connor outperformed Mark Herzlich in Pittsburgh and so got some first-team reps on Monday yesterday here at practice. Talk about what you saw and did not see in that linebacking core and that linebacking competition in the game and then how it translated in practice on Monday.
Herzlich was not very productive on Saturday, Anita. Quite honestly, he just wasn't around the ball often enough. He wasn't there quick enough. It was very disappointing because he had had such a good offseason program, had clearly gotten the edge on Connor going into the preseason, and then what happened in the game? He just did not play well. It's just that simple. He was not where he needed to be. He was not fast enough. And then Connor got in there, and it was almost like someone had turned up the record player a little bit. I know you young folks out there don't even know what a record player is, but they do exist. And Connor was a little bit faster than Herzlich, and he was quicker to the hole and more assertive, and he plugged holes where Herzlich wasn't getting there. He had some trouble in pass coverage, don't get me wrong, all right? The Steelers isolated a back on him and a tight end on him, and they ran some 15-yard routes, and Connor was a step or two behind. You know, it's quite clear to me that both Connor and Herzlich are going to have some trouble in pass coverage. I mean, we're not talking about Harry Carson now at middle linebacker for the Giants. These guys are not great players. But the Giants are going to have to figure out a winner between the two. Connor had the edge in week one. And as a result, for the first time all camp, he got to take snaps with the ones yesterday. Will that continue? I do not know. I would suspect it will. And once again, they're going to step out onto the field Sunday against the Colts, and Tom Coughlin's going to grade that game. And if Connor continues to push forward, maybe he will have already passed Herzlich and win that starting job against the Cowboys. It didn't look that way going into the first preseason game, but it looks to me, and I hate to use this term for a defensive player, like Mark Herzlich probably dropped the ball against the Steelers.
Well, what about Jaquan Williams? I know that was a hot topic going in, actually since camp began, because Paysinger has really been getting the majority of the first team snaps. Jaquan Williams, somewhat of a chip on his shoulder, really wanting to be the starter. That was an interesting battle to watch going into this game. What did you see between those two linebackers?
Well, Paysinger had the best game of all the Giants linebackers, and that's not to say he played really well, because he didn't. But he played okay. The rest of the linebackers were fair at best.
Even Jaquan?
Jaquan Williams overran some plays. He was so active that he was just too anxious. He looked too jacked up to me, almost like he was trying to do too much.
Right.
And we've seen that before with athletes, Anita. You know, they feel like they've got to prove something. They feel like, you know, they need to show that they belong or they need to make a play. And then what happens? They wind up running themselves out of too many plays. That's what I saw with Jaquan Williams the other night. He was very, very active, but he just wasn't necessarily around the ball like he needed to be because he was just so frenetic. There were many plays in the first quarter when the Giants went to that new sub-package that we saw unveiled at practice last week with Williams and Paysinger on the field at the same time. And so I'm getting the impression that maybe that battle isn't so much a battle between the two of them because they are going to see a lot of time together on the field. As much as the Giants want to see, is this new sub-defense going to be effective? Now, the Steelers ran pretty well against that defense in the first quarter the other night. And I thought it was because the linebackers...
Without their new star-studded rookie running back. He didn't even play.
Yeah, Le'Veon Bell.
Right.
Did not play, and the folks out in Pittsburgh are so excited about him. They're talking about the most excitement that they've seen out of a rookie running back since Franco Harris. That's what it said in the papers.
Yeah,
on
he
the
didn't
front
even
page.
Play.
And he did not play. Hastings played on Saturday and looked pretty good, too. So I'm a little disappointed in the Williams-Pazinger combination in the first quarter the other night. Yes, they're active, and yes, they're athletic, but they didn't really stuff the run as much as they needed to. And I wonder if that's just because they only introduced that scheme about a week ago. You know, maybe these guys just need to get used to each other, too.
What about Rivers? What did you see from Rivers?
Again, I'm lumping him in with the rest of the linebackers who were fair. Active, but just didn't seem to close on the ball as quickly as he needed to or to be in the right spots when he needed to. I'll say one thing about the Steelers. They came out in this game wanting to prove that they could run the ball. And they were hitting, and they were at full tempo, and it did not look like the Giants were really prepared for that punch in the mouth against the run at the beginning of the game.
But again, and this is something that we talked about, head coach Tom Coughlin, not a lot of physicality here at Giants camp during training camp. Just too worried about injury. And rightfully so. There's a lot of coaches out there in the NFL who have that philosophy. Mike Tomlin does not have that philosophy. The Harbaughs do not have that philosophy. There are coaches out there. I mean, if you watched Hard Knocks with the Cincinnati Bengals, they end their practice on Oklahoma drills. So when you have a team who has that type of physicality and are hitting and are tackling, granted the risk of injury is high, a lot higher than it is here, but the physicality is already there. I think the Giants, it's just going to take a hot second for the Giants to kind of get up to speed with the other teams that are tackling, that are going full go in their training camp.
It's funny you mentioned that, Anita, because I was talking to the coaches at the end of last week and then over the weekend going into the game, and I remember saying to several of them, this is a really good test because you know the Steelers are going to punch you in the mouth. I mean, they're physical from the time they arrive at the stadium. They want to beat you up. And Mike Tomlin is not going to tolerate anything less, preseason or otherwise. He expects his guys to crack pads. And I think the Giants coaches, while understanding that their guys really haven't done a whole lot of this, understood that, okay, this is a better thing than not because we've got to get ready for the season. We've got to get into tempo. We've got to get used to hitting. This is a good thing for us. We're glad we're playing the Pittsburgh Steelers. We're glad we're playing with somebody who wants to get us involved in a brawl. I mean, they were looking forward to this for their guys. Quite honestly, I'm not so sure that the results were as much as favorable as they wanted them to be, though, because it just looked to me like the Steelers were playing at a different tempo and a different level. Now, that's not to say the Giants were terrible and laid down like dogs, because they didn't. I mean, it wasn't they were horrible. They didn't cower and run away. But they just seemed to be missing that extra edge. And I think that everything you just said about those coaches who do hit more often during training camp holds a lot of water.
All right, well, let's talk about the defensive line before we do move on to offense. And DeMontre Moore was just really outstanding. Would you agree that one of the most impressive Giants players coming out of preseason game one?
Well, there's no doubt he was the star of the game in Pittsburgh. He has been next to Prince Amukamara, the defensive star of the entire training camp. A guy who... Let me reset for a second. After the game, he was laughing, and he was talking to the writers, and then I got him on the postgame show, and all he could talk about were the sacks he did not get. Now, he was in on five tackles, tackle for a loss. I think I had him for six unofficial pressures. Now, I was on the sidelines, so I'm grading everything from the sidelines. A lot harder to do than when I'm up in the box, when I can see everything from above. You know, Anita,
right.
It's a lot easier for me upstairs. So I was downstairs. It was a little difficult, but I had him, I think, for six pressures in the first half, through three quarters. He played a lot of three quarters. And he was more upset with the sack that he didn't get than being happy about the blocked punt. being happy about the pressures, being happy about the tackle for a loss. What a great attitude. I mean, this kid went out there and he balled and he had fun. And yet he was like, ah, I got to get a sack though. You know, I should have had one. And that's all he kept saying. He was upset with himself that he didn't bag a quarterback. How do you not love this guy? You know? Now, I will tell you this. He is still a tad raw. Phil Simms was with me on the sidelines for part of the game. And after one of the pressures, Phil said to me, Paulie, this guy's pretty good, huh? I said, Phil, I'm telling you, he's got great speed off the edge. The only thing is, you know, he's got two moves right now that I see. The quick step off the edge off the snap, which he's really, really good at. And then he's got a slicing move inside the tackle, which I really like a lot, too. And Phil says, when you're that quick, it doesn't matter. He gets after the quarterback. So number 11 was real happy to see this guy play, too. And that really tells you all you need to know about where the Giants can use DeMontre Moore.
201-939-4513. Paul, we've got some callers on. Let's head out to our lines. We've got Jason calling in from Montana. Jason, welcome.
Hey, good morning. I guess I'm going to have to kick this one off, huh? Hey, I got three players that I'm interested in. Ojomo, Okum, and Masao. Ojomo looked like he was in on 1.5 sacks.
He was.
And we know that last preseason he came out with 4. Do you think that he will, let's say, possibly run with the twos? Just so because he looks like he's doing well against the threes. But
well, that's a problem because he's behind Tracy and he's behind DeMontre Moore right now. He's basically with the third unit. And I just don't see him jumping Tracy or Moore. And quite honestly, if the Giants keep Kiwi and JPP and Tuck and Tracy and Moore, that's 5 defensive ends. It's unlikely they're going to keep 6. And so I'm looking at Aduwale Ajomo, and I'm saying to myself, okay, he did not have a good spring. He has not had a good training camp. But then what happened in the game? Well, against the threes, he showed up, and he had 1.5 sacks, looked like he was having fun again. You should have seen his teammates congratulating him on the sidelines after he got that solo sack late in the game. He comes over there, big grin and smile on his face. I haven't seen him smile like that in probably a year. And every one of his teammates, I'm talking about the whole bench, came over. They're slapping him, high-fiving him, giving him a pat on the back. And he's all jacked up and fired up and pumped up. He was having fun again. This is a guy who I think really had trouble dealing with making the team as a rookie and then realizing that he wasn't going to play. And, you know, it's very difficult sometimes to live with that disappointment. That, hey, I made the team, and then all of a sudden he doesn't get a jersey for the season. That's hard. It's really hard. And I think it really affected him. And I think he lost a lot of his fire and his spark. And then at training camp, you know, they draft DeMontre Moore ahead of him. Tracy's running ahead of him. And I think he got very discouraged. That's my opinion. All right? I've talked to him. I've seen him walking around the campus. He seemed discouraged to me. But in the game.
Yeah, I saw that too.
All right, in the game, he had it going again. So, where does Aduwale Ajomo fit in? Practice squad? Right. Maybe. Because I don't think he makes the 53.
Yeah. What about Okum?
I don't see how Okum could possibly jump all the tackles ahead of him. There are 8 defensive tackles right now on this roster, and you got to think they're going to keep probably 4. Certainly no more than 5 max. And I don't see how Okum can jump all the guys ahead of him and sneak on to the 53. I just don't see it.
Right. All right, well, appreciate your time.
Thank you.
All right.
201-939-4513. We talked about Ajomo last week. I said to you, I said, how are you feeling about Ajomo? Because same thing last year. Shows up during games, but under the radar at practice. Have you had a chance to talk to him and ask him what's up?
I talked to him during minicamp, and he had said to me he was really hoping for the opportunity to play this year, was hoping that all of his hard work would pay off, and that, you know, after what he had done last preseason in the games, that maybe this time he'd have a chance at taking some snaps. I certainly got the impression, reading between the lines, that that he's been discouraged and disappointed. And as I said to the caller, he didn't look at the other night when he finally got in a game. You know, Anita, there are some guys who are just not good practice players. We heard that about DeMontre Moore when he was in college, that he was not a good practice player, that he was really lazy and dogged it at practice, and during the week he was just not what a player should be. But on game day, DeMontre Moore would show up in college and made big, 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 big plays, and a lot of them. And so a lot of teams kind of wrote him off, and that's why he dropped to the third round. So you got to wonder, is Ajomo one of those guys who just shows up when the bright lights are on? Well, you know, that's a risky game to play when you're a young guy trying to make an NFL roster, especially if you're on a team coached by Tom Coughlin, who grades every step you take, not just in the film room, not just on the practice field, and not just in the preseason games, but every step you take is being graded by this guy, because he needs to figure out if you deserve a roster spot. He's not just looking at the 10 snaps or so you had in the preseason game, even though you did what you needed to do. If he grades you poorly on the rest of your demeanor and on the rest of what you've done during the week, you're not going to be here. So I implore Aduale Ajomo to make some more plays in practice, much like he did during the game, if he wants to make this team.
201-939-4513. Paul Dottino, Anita Marks with you till 10:30 this morning. Big Blue Kickoff Live. Let's go to AJ. AJ, welcome.
Hey, how are you guys?
Great.
Hi. Great. Yeah, just calling about these linebackers. What can we do to fix this thing? I mean, I think the CBA agreement kind of has us a little hamstrung as far as how physical we can be, and I think it just hurts our linebackers, like, big time. They don't get that physicality that they need, and they can't really get a live picture on how they can hold the edge and run support. And that's what I saw mostly in the game, linebackers chasing people 5 and 6 yards downfield, because they're not used to that physicality when they got to hold the edge when they want to hit the off-tackle plays or the pitches or the counters. And I'm just wondering how we're going to get this done this year. It's just not looking good.
Well, I appreciate your concern, because it's something the Giants are very, very worried about right now. And there's no question that when you don't have the kind of practices that Anita was talking about with some of the other teams, you do run the risk of guys not getting into the flow. And these linebackers right now are just, as a group, just not up to speed. I mean, there's just no denying it. Now, they do have 3 games to show it, okay? And I know that there'll be limited snaps for a bunch of the starters as we go through the preseason, but they'll see a healthy amount of time against the Colts. They'll see a very healthy amount of time against the Jets. And then, of course, the Patriots game is kind of a token game. So the next 2 weekends are going to be very critical for guys like Keith Rivers, guys like Aaron Curry, who really need to show that they've got some pop if they're going to make the 53. So, you know, let's see. I mean, the microscope is on these folks, and that's nothing new. I mean, we knew during the entire offseason that the Giants linebacking core was going to be a cause of concern. And so now more than ever, we've got to watch play after play after play and see what these guys have and what they're capable of doing. Because if they are not up to speed, then Perry Fuel's got to do some schematic things to kind of cover it up.
201-939-4513. Sticking with the defensive line, Colin Jenkins has been seen taking a lot of snaps at defensive end. Is that because, obviously, no JPP on the field because of his back issue? Tuck just got back to practice yesterday because of a back issue. He did not play against Pittsburgh. As we know, OC is in Atlanta. Do you feel that, and obviously Jenkins has had experience playing defensive end and tackle, but do you feel that's why once regular season gets here and hopefully everybody's healthy and active, chances are will we see him at defensive end? How do you see this playing out, Paul?
I'm going to take a reach here, Anita, and I'm going to tell people right off the bat that I don't know this to be a fact, but it's an educated guess. I think the Giants are thinking not so much about Tuck, but about JPP. Because if he's not ready for the first few games of the regular season, and he's well enough to where they think they can get him back by week 3, he'll stay on the 53, and Pup won't be an option. Now, we've talked about that before. But if he's gone for the first three games, the Giants need to figure out what they want to do at defensive end with Kiwi, Tuck, and then that X factor to rotate. I think the reason that Cullen Jenkins is playing so much defensive end over the last week or so is because that's what the Giants plan to do. I think they plan on using Jenkins in the defensive end rotation over the first couple of weeks of the season while they bide their time until JPP gets back onto the field. That's my educated guess right now. I don't know that to be a fact, but that's what I think is going to happen. And quite honestly, Cullen Jenkins played pretty well at defensive end the other night against Pittsburgh. I thought he did a solid job.
201-939-4513. Let's go to Charlie, calling in from Ithaca. Charlie, welcome.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes. I wanted to back up a little bit on the linebackers. I thought Aaron Curry actually played pretty good, and I was wondering, you know, what your thoughts were on that. You know, and also on the defensive line, I thought Tratow had an excellent game. You know, he was good against the run, and he seemed to apply a little bit of pressure on the pass. So, you know, they got some problems trying to get rid of some of those ends, I think.
Well, let's go with Curry first. He did move around fairly well, but he was only in on one assisted tackle. It was a short yardage play, and I do give him credit for sticking his head in there and being involved. But to be honest, I mean, if you watch the game, and I don't know exactly how many snaps Curry had. I didn't total them up. But how many times was he actually around the ball? Twice?
Well, at least twice. And I thought a couple other times he was good on turning things back in, you know, which is what he was supposed to do.
And that's okay, but I'd rather see him close a little bit better. I think this is a guy who was still showing flashes enough to intrigue the coaching staff. But again, he's a work in progress. Each and every one of these preseason games, he's got to prove that there is improvement there so that there's a reason to keep him on the 53. As he stands right now, if you said to me, this is what Aaron Curry is right now, he's not going to get any better. This is the guy. I'm telling you, he's not good enough. He needs to continue to show improvement over the course of the next couple of weeks if he is going to be a valued member of this 53-man roster. Is that fair?
That's fair.
I agree.
Now,
in terms of Tratow, you know, he made the team last year. I was surprised that he did. The coaches do like his work ethic. He's a good guy. He does have quickness. He did make some plays the other night in Pittsburgh. But as I look at that defensive end allotment, I would prefer to keep a Jomo, to be honest with you. But Tratow is better in practice than a Jomo. And that's and that's going to hurt Aduwale. And we've already talked about the fact that the Giants may only keep five defensive ends. Well, Tratow and a Jomo would compete for the number six spot. And that's not a good thing.
Right.
Now, I'm not sure. I think Jomo's eligible for the practice squad. I don't think Tratow is, but I'm not sure. I'd have to check on that. That may be a way for one of these guys to stay.
Well, I agree with Tuck when he said last week that a lot of these guys who are not going to be there are going to find their way on some NFL teams. That's going to be the case here, I think. And, you know, I just hope we don't regret it at some point, you know. A lot of ends in there. They all seem to be have things that they do well, you know what I mean?
Well, that's part of the problem, is that each guy has shown flashes in a particular area, but the truth of the matter is, nobody has just stepped up and become dominant in all facets of the game, and that's what they need. They need somebody who they can stick out there at any time and say, okay, look, we just need you to get the job done, and that particular guy's able to do it all. Stop the run, get after the quarterback, hold the line of scrimmage, but that's not happening. A lot of these guys are good at one facet of the game, and that poses an issue because you can't keep them all.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Thanks for the call.
And finally, any word on Antro Roll, any latest?
We hope to find out something in the next couple of hours, but right now we don't have anything else other than he rolled his ankle.
All righty. Well, thank you. You guys have a good day.
201-939-4513. If you're just tuning in, Paul Dottino, we kicked off Big Blue Kickoff Live around 9:30 a.m. Eastern Time and talked about Antro Roll. Unfortunately, no news right now. Had an MRI either yesterday or is going to have that today. Hopefully, we'll have some information today at practice. I mean, obviously, we're not expecting him to practice, but in talking to the coaches and after practice, Tom Coughlin, hopefully we'll have an idea of exactly the extent of the injury.
You know, Anita, sprained ankles, and I'm just going to call it a sprained ankle for now because that's about as generic as we could possibly be. Again, Pascoe kind of rolled up on Roll's ankle during practice yesterday. You know, these things could be a week, 2 weeks, 4 weeks. It could be a wide range of times in terms of, you know, how long he would be out. That would cause a problem for the Giants because let's just say for one moment, and again, folks, I'm not saying this is true, but let's say for a moment that this ankle injury is an elongated deal. Well, again, the regular season is only about 3 or so weeks away, and that would then pose a problem for them because then Monday's got to start. Then you got to worry about, well, now who really is your backup safety? Well, maybe Tyler Sash is that guy, or maybe you wait a few weeks because you know Will Hill's going to come back off the suspended list. The worst thing that could happen to a coach is that he's got starters in that questionable injury area as he tries to settle his 53. That's a true coach's nightmare. So,
let's continue with our calls. We go to Shakes calling in from Baltimore. Shakes, welcome.
Hey, what's going on, y'all?
Hey.
I'm going to go in. Paul, I don't agree with you. You know I'm a Curry man. Like, I'm a Curry fan, and when I looked at him and I was watching that game and I watched it very close, I watched everybody, you know, I did. And Curry looked good to me. And and the linebackers did not impress me at all. I mean, Connor looked like he was half sleep running. Herzlick ain't do a good job. Even Jaquan Williams didn't impress me, and I was surprised by that because I'm big on Jaquan Williams. I think he's going to have a big year. I'm not going too much on the first preseason game. I know that's what y'all going to say. But from what I've seen from them linebackers, they disappointed me, but I like what I've seen from Curry, I like what I've seen from Rivers, and I like what I've seen from Paisinger. Them three guys showed up. And I'm telling you, Curry's going to make this team. You may not agree with me, but he's going to make this team, and he's going to do something. He's going to do something. You will say Curry did something at the end of the year. And it's a lot of focus on these linebackers, but what I was focused on and what I was kind of a little weary on was the offensive line. Now, I know Snead wasn't playing, but what I wanted to see was Mosley step up. I wanted to see McCant step up. I wanted to see Cordell step up. And I know Pugh wasn't playing, but I wanted to see these guys step up, and nobody really stepped up and showed me anything. So I was kind of disappointed by that. But y'all can talk on that, and I'll get off the line.
All right, Shakes. Well, we talked about the linebackers before. I respectfully disagree with you. I think that, you know, Spencer Paisinger had the best night of the linebackers, not Aaron Curry. And Curry still has more to do. Now, in terms of the offensive line, your ace is on there. I mean, it was just not a good night for the offensive line. And those guys, including the starters, need to get their act together because the Giants did not have much of a power running game going at all. In fact, they had none, and that's a huge problem. It's one that we saw throughout the course of last season, and it's one that they cannot have this year if they expect to be a playoff team. I will say one thing about the running game, though. Michael Cox looked pretty good. He's got the size and the quicks and the strength. I've been telling you guys this since the day they drafted him. The question becomes now, you know, can he do it on special teams to earn himself a spot? Because I think it's quite clear, based on what happened in Pittsburgh the other night, that he moved a little bit ahead of Darrell Scott, who really had a tough time against the Steelers, and Ryan Terrain, who was not able to play because he got dinged. I quite frankly haven't been overwhelmed with Ryan Terrain during the course of training camp anyway. So Michael Cox did himself a big favor against the Steelers. And let's see if he can continue to do it, because that'll be his ticket.
All right, well, let's talk about some offense because we've only got about 10 more minutes left in the show. Again, 201-939-4513, the phone number you want to get in. Also, you can find us on Twitter, at Giants, hashtag Giants Chat, for any questions or comments. Actually, here is one from Jay-Z underscore J-Dog wants to know, how do you feel about Josh Brown? Will he be accurate? He did have a missed attempt but nailed a 47-yarder.
I think it was 3 out of 4 the other night. The 38-yarder that he missed was wide left. I didn't see much of a problem with the snap or the hold. I think he just missed it. I haven't talked to him since, so I don't know for sure. The 47-yarder would have been good from probably about 52 or 53. He hit that one really well. So, you know, I really don't have a whole lot more to say about that. His kickoffs were solid. I know the Giants were pleased with those. And quite honestly, that would be the one small difference between him and Lawrence Tynes, is that his kickoffs are usually a little bit deeper than Tynes's. But for the most part, they're kind of the same player. So, you know, if you're looking for something spectacular, look elsewhere. Josh Brown is pretty much just a steady, good, reliable NFL kicker.
So 8 practices left in the books for this team to thank you, CBA. For this team to get ready for regular season game 1. Tom Coughlin addressed that yesterday. And really, I mean, based on the number of camps you've covered, the number of camps I've covered, it just seems like it's just been way too short. Like, how ready do you think these guys are going to be against Dallas, Paul?
Well, you know what, Anita, right now, I'm not real comfortable. If they had opened the season tomorrow, I think Tom Coughlin would tell you they're not ready. Now, they've got 3 more preseason games to go. Thank goodness that they do. For every fan who says to me, or every expert who says, let's cut down to 2 preseason games, well, I'm going to leave you with this question, Anita. Giants have played 1 preseason game already. They didn't show any semblance of the team that needs to step on the field against the Cowboys. They've got a 2nd preseason game Sunday against the Colts. I would suspect that after that game, you'll probably feel the same way, that they are not nearly ready to play the Cowboys yet. 2 preseason games, I get the fact that everybody wants 18 regular season games. As a fan, I love that. I know you would love that too. Fantasy football people would love that. You know, Anita, I'm just looking at this, and I'm saying to myself, with the watered-down training camps, I think maybe the 4 preseason games are necessary. This team is nowhere near ready to play the Cowboys.
Well, Justin Tuck, as we mentioned before, back at practice. So is Chris Snee and Ryan Terrain, and Justin Pugh. Talk about Justin Pugh. I mean, going in, we knew that there was the competition with David Deal, and the competition is still there. But the fact that he suffered a concussion kind of set him back a little bit. But he got second team with the left tackle position yesterday, from what I understand. What does that tell you, and how far behind is he because of this concussion issue?
Well, he claims he's not that far behind because he was still able to do some book work while he was out of the lineup with that concussion last weekend. But I'll tell you what it tells me, Anita. He's going to be the 3rd tackle. I've talked to the coaches over the last few days, and remember how we said last week that David Deal lost weight, hadn't lost strength, and feels as good as he has felt in a long time, and is fighting like a pit bull to keep this job? You know what? He did okay the other night in Pittsburgh. And I'm getting the sense from the coaching staff that David Deal actually does have a little bit more than a leg up on Pugh. Now, did they come into camp with an open competition? Yes, they did. But Pugh hasn't been as sensational as they necessarily needed to see, and Deal has been, I hate to say better than they expected, but he's held his own, and he's fired up. And sometimes that's the best thing that you could see out of a veteran, a guy who's chomping at the bit because he doesn't want to sit the bench. And so I'm telling you right now, throw in the concussion, Pugh has fallen behind in that race. And I think that's one of the reasons you saw him working some at left tackle yesterday, because they're thinking, okay, if Deal's going to be the starter opposite Beattie, well, then Pugh's going to have to be that swing guy. And we might as well get him reps at both tackles, because if he's going to be number 3, he's got to know both positions. That's how I see it right now.
201-939-4513. Let's go to Johnny in Montreal. Johnny, welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live.
Hey, how's it going?
Great.
Good, good. I had a quick question, actually like a two-part question. Do you guys think that Hakeem Nicks will start week one? And if not, is Ruben Randle like a viable fantasy two receiver?
Well, I think both of us think Hakeem Nicks will be ready for the Cowboys. Now, whether he plays all 16, I don't know. But yeah, I mean, they kept him out as a precaution against Pittsburgh. Randle started. I had one nice grab. Was another play where he could have caught a bomb, which would have gone for a touchdown. He did not get a good release off the ball, and as a result, couldn't catch up to it. And that was disappointing because Randle, who had had a terrific offseason, last week kind of went down just a little bit, and in the game, he had a chance to make a big play and didn't get there. So that was a bit disappointing. But yeah, I think Randle's going to be fine, and I think Nicks is going to be fine as well. Anita, I think you agree.
Yes. Really quick, talk about Kevin Gilbride's comments yesterday. I mean, you and I have talked about this quarterback situation. Are they going to keep three? We're in agreement that we think that they're going to keep three. But who's going to be the backup to Eli Manning? And Kevin Gilbride came out yesterday and told the media, listen, this is a legitimate competition going on between Painter and Carr. Why do you think that is?
That's a really good question, Anita, because from what I've seen of Curtis Painter, he doesn't really have a spot here. He's very erratic. Whenever they get into live drills and defenders get within 5 yards of him, he seems to be inaccurate. When he has to throw the ball far downfield, beyond 20 yards, he's erratic. You know, I'm not telling you that David Carr is an all-pro, okay, but you know what you get with him. And he's steady. He's a good teammate. He knows the system. He's a little bit more mobile than Eli, so if they get into trouble there, he could do some things with his feet. I'm a David Carr fan. I make no bones about that. And I think he's a better quarterback than Curtis Painter. But yet, the Giants seem to believe that there is a competition there. I'm just not sure why. Curtis Painter throws a very nice ball inside of 20 yards when there's nobody around. I mean, 7-on-7s? He could thread a needle for 20 yards. But I just don't see enough in him to think that he should be the number two.
Let's go to Dave in Rochester. Dave, welcome to the show.
Guys, good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
Good morning.
Good morning. I just wanted to ask you about Andre Brown's fumble. Wanted to see if you noticed he was in the doghouse. And will we see some of maybe Michael Cox a little bit more in this offseason because he might be in the doghouse? Your thoughts?
Well, first of all, Andre Brown's fumble, according to Tom Coughlin, was the result of a lack of concentration. And that's what got the coach peeved. Is he in the doghouse? For one fumble like that? No. But did Tom give him a little bit of a reprimand? Sure. Hey, you know, one thing about Tom Coughlin we know, ball security is always going to be paramount. So he was not pleased. And he let him know about it. But to say he's in the doghouse, no. Because when a guy's in the doghouse, usually you see that there are repercussions from his mistake. I don't think there are any repercussions from this mistake. It's done. It's over with. Learn from it. Make sure you don't do it again. Move on. So I don't see the doghouse effect coming into play.
But talk about Michael Fox. I mean, a lot of folks are kind of excited about what this young man brought to the table. And not to take anything away from David Wilson, but, you know, you look at Ryan Terrain. You know, Giants fans want to know who that number three is going to be. We know who the 1A, 1B. Who knows, by week four it'll be 1-2. But who's that three going to be, Paul? Could it be Fox?
Well, Michael Cox, again, from the day he got here, showed that he had the tools to be that guy. The question has always been, could he pick up the offense? Now, I'm going to be straight with you, Anita. What I saw in Pittsburgh just confirmed everything that I had thought from the beginning. He's got the tools. He continues to show he's got the tools.
Right.
But can I tell you that he knows 50% of the playbook, 40% of the playbook, 70% of the playbook? That I can't tell you right now. And until he proves that either A, he can produce on special teams, they had him back there on kickoff returns. Unfortunately for him, he didn't get to return any the other night. They also had him as the gunner on the punt coverage team at practice yesterday. which showed me that they're trying to find a spot where he can produce on specials so that he can win a place on the 53. It's obvious to me the coaches like his talent and want him to be here, but he's going to have to give production in those other areas because, quite frankly, I think the jump from UMass to the Giants is significant enough, and I know Victor Cruz did it, but he was of a different mentality. I think it's significant enough that Cruz is that Cox is still going to be coming up short when it comes to the playbook. Would the Giants be happy to find a third running back out on the waiver wire, specifically a fullback? I still think they're looking, but I think that their sense of urgency to find one can be diminished by the fact that Cox has shown so much ability on the field. That's about the best way I can answer it right now. But, you know, I will tell you this, and I'm going to pat myself on the back here. The writers are always so late to the party. They're talking about Michael Cox now after the game in Pittsburgh. I've been talking about this guy since the first day I saw him at rookie camp.
Toot your own horn, Polly.
Got to.
Toot your own horn.
Got to.
All right, here's some Twitter questions. Again, you can follow us on Twitter, @Giants, #GiantsChat, for any questions or comments about the show. Is camp inside today because of the rain? Well, if it is raining, yes, it will be inside. But practice isn't until 1:30. It's only 10:30. So I mean, the weather conditions here are just not good. So I'm not sure exactly what your commute is, how far away you are. But I would just stay on top of the weather conditions in this area. But it does not look good.
No, and you know, Giants.com, as well as their Twitter site, will obviously post the advisory as soon as they get it. So do stay tuned for sure.
And this is from A.J. Marshall, wants to know, how many linebackers will make the team, Paul?
I'm thinking six right now. You know, it'd be real dangerous to go with five. They probably could. I don't think they want to. I think they'd like to go with six. I mean, you know, the toughest part about this is that they really haven't had any guys seize the position. We got a lot of guys who played okay, who have been fair during training camp, and then in the game the other night. They need guys who are going to step up and say, hey, you know what? I belong on this team. I should get snaps. Maybe I should start. They need guys to rise above the fray. And that's what I'm going to be looking for against the Colts on Sunday. But I think right now you probably are looking at six.
Great. So any final thoughts before we do sign off for the day?
Well, the only thing that I really am interested in seeing today now, besides obviously we want to find an update on Ontrell Roll. I mean, that's certainly a very, very big deal. The only thing that I really want to see today right now is how they approach what is supposed to be a full pads practice, because if they are inside and they go half pads, I'd like to see how much gumption that this team shows. Tomorrow's a full pads practice. I think that's the last full pads practice of the week before the Sunday night game against the Colts. And I think everybody around here would agree, including Tom Coughlin, the Giants did not play with the necessary spark, fire, and tempo that they needed to against the Steelers. So I'd like to know where they're going to get that from. Are they going to get it this week against the Colts? Is it still just preseason week two and we're going to have to wait a couple of weeks before we see that? But until I see that, I'm not comfortable with this team stepping onto the field against the Cowboys opening night.
We thank you so much for tuning in. Myself and Paul Dottino. Are you back on tomorrow, by the way? Or
I'm on every day this week.
You are?
Yeah.
Oh, fantastic.
Busy week.
Good for you. I'm back on Friday. In the meantime, again, practice 1:30 today, but it does not look good. The weather is pretty bad here in this part of New Jersey. So if you are planning on heading out, make sure you stay on top of the weather reports to make sure that you do want to come out, because if the Giants do practice inside, unfortunately, it is not available to the public. If they do practice outside, mind you, defensive line and the DBs will be signing autographs today. So hopefully the weather will clear up, but again, it just doesn't look like it. Stay on top of what's going on with Antrell Roll. You can get all your information right here at Giants.com. We'll have information and interviews for you posted a little bit later. Also, make sure you tune in to the MSG show later on tonight, 6 p.m. on MSG
Plus.
Plus. There you go. Thank you very much. Bob Papa and Carl Banks will be hosting. I will be contributing to the show. I'll have an interview with Prince Amukamura, Keith Rivers, as well as defensive coordinator Perry Fuel. So you can stay tuned for those interviews. I'll be talking to them later on this afternoon.
Okay, Anita.
Sound
we'll see
good?
You then.
All right. Everybody, have a fantastic day.